Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. We are live here, 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, on the 23rd day of March, 2015. The program is titled Women of Wisdom, and it is live every Monday and Tuesday evening at this time on the WC, A Woman with CP Network. This network was created by, and this program is hosted by, best-selling author Wynne Kelly Charles. Wynne Kelly Charles can be found at WynneCharles.com. And tonight, Wynne Charles welcomes as her guest, Jovanna Holliday. This blessed lady is a mentor, life coach, and she has lived through her share of adversity, having overcome a stroke. Jovanna is a proud mother and grandmother and a woman of deep and abiding faith. Thank you so much for tuning into the program today to meet Jovanna Holliday. And without any further ado, we bring on the host of the program, Wynne Charles, and her guest, Jovanna Holliday.
Thank you, Annette. And as Annette said, I'm blessed and honored to have Jovanna Holliday on with me tonight. And one of the first questions I'm going to ask is, okay, how do I ask this question? I'll just go ahead and ask it. Is, how did you overcome a stroke?
Oh, it was a lot of prayer. A lot of determination, a lot of faith.
Well, when did you get the stroke? And by the way, you don't sound like you have a stroke.
Well, thank you. No, I'm recovering. It's a slow process. I had the stroke in October of 2013.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. My God. So, man, you recover quick. Man, that isn't that long ago. And my next question for my listeners is, how do you know a stroke is coming on? How does a person know that a stroke is coming on?
Well, each person is different. Mine came on from a stomach ache. I had a stomach ache I couldn't get rid of for like 2 or 3 days. And I finally went to the emergency room, and they told me at that time I was having a stroke.
Oh, my God. So your stroke started as a stomach ache. So you woke up with a stomach ache, not realizing that it would impact the rest of your life.
That is correct. It's a stomach ache that you really can't explain. It's just different from a regular normal stomach ache. But you feel like a sickness in your stomach as well. And I couldn't get rid of the feeling no matter what I took to try to get rid of a stomach ache. So when I went to emergency, they told me that's what was going on.
So what made you want to become a mentor and a life coach? Was it something that the stroke brought on? I mean, as you were lying in a hospital bed fighting for your life, did a divine intervention come into your life and give you a new career path, or what was it?
No, I've been a life coach and mentor since I was probably, about 20-something years. It all started with me I started mentoring and life coaching myself. And from there, it would be friends of mine who had issues or problems. We would sit down, we'd pray about them, we'd talk about them. And then I saw a lot of young girls who needed someone in their life positive. And at that point, I began mentoring through different agencies, and it just never stopped.
Okay. So basically the stroke even brought more power to you because you were a fully able-bodied woman before 2013, and you had it all, and then life hit you unexpectedly, and then you were able to bring it back. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, I'm still doing life coaching and mentoring to young women who want to hear and listen. And it's basically, I even started a book about people who are having strokes and what, you know, for families to, how to handle people with strokes. I also started a book about young girls and growing up as a woman, you know, that being a woman has no owner manual, and it teaches us how to love ourselves more, and it talks about different things that women go through and how the solutions on how to fix it.
Is the book all? Is the book on the strokes all?
No, not yet. I'm hoping to have it on the shelf by the end of the year.
Not yet. I was going to say that would be amazing if it's somebody else. I was going to say, yeah, bad chance win, because I have a TBI as well, and the way the stroke or any brain injury works, it definitely impacts your daily life. So
yeah.
Give me an example of what you were doing before the stroke, and give me an example now.
What I was doing before I had the stroke was I was still mentoring. I was working. I was helping take care of my mother, just doing my everyday daily routine. When I had the stroke, like I said, it felt like a stomach ache. And the worst part of the stroke was trying to learn. I couldn't walk. I was paralyzed all on my left side. So I had to learn how to walk and use my arm and hands all over again because I wasn't able to.
So basically, you are still recovering from that and have the goals. Have you impacted
you've reached
the goals
and win. Please leave a message and we'll get back to you shortly.
Sharing your story and doing what you did, overcoming the stroke and overcoming adversity. I mean, you had it all until the stroke. And so
yes.
Have goals actually listened to that story and gained knowledge from that story?
Yes, for a long time having a stroke, when you go through a stroke on a mental basis, you go through a lot of different mental problems as far as one day you could be depressed, you could be happy. You have to go through, it's like an emotional roller coaster that you go through. I still go through it at times. I'm still fighting to stay strong on a daily basis where, you know, I can continue to walk to make sure I never stop walking. I, hear other people's stories. I met a woman. What encouraged me, too, to build my faith up more was I met a woman who had a stroke, and she said with her stroke, she was paralyzed as well on her left side, but she also lost her hearing for 7 years. And when I met her, she was able to hear again. So, you know, her story really motivated me to push myself to be determined to get back to wherever God wants me to be. If he wanted me to be a new person through all this, as far as physical, then I was fine. But I had to mentally get there first.
Yep, you have to mentally get there to understand why life had thrown a curveball at you. And so what would be your biggest lesson to my listeners through all this? What would be your biggest mentoring lesson through all this? And what would you say to people that are stuck in a rock and a hard place?
I would say never give up. Continue to pray, have faith, and believe that God is going to heal you, because each day that I am, I tell them they have to thank God that they're still alive. I've met many people who had a stroke after me and died. And so what keeps me going is the fact that Every day I wake up and open my eyes, I thank God because he's given me a chance to get it to, you know, get myself together in the healing process to where I can be whole. I have to be determined to stay whole in my life and know that God got me and I'm going to be better. Take the process to be this long, but mentally you have to put yourself in a situation where it says, I'm okay with me. I'm still God's child. He still loves me. And I'm going to be okay.
How quick did you expect this whole recovery process to be, let me ask? Because you just said, I didn't expect this process to be this long.
Right. I thought it was going to be a quick process. Okay, well, I didn't die. Mentally, I told myself, okay, you didn't die. Now you're able to walk. I'm still working on getting my arm back to normal. I thought that was going to come back to normal just as fast as I was able to learn how to walk. But mentally, I had to prepare myself for a long recovery. A lot of, you know, I've seen people who had strokes and they bounce right back. But they tell me, you know, the hospital explained to me there's a different level of stroke. Some people have mild strokes. Some people have extreme hard strokes, which I did have. So my recovery would take longer. So in that process, I had to learn to accept that. Because at first, I was like, well, I'm not like everyone else. They just bounce back. Nothing looks like it's wrong with them. And, you know, when they told me that, it was really a blow because it's like now is over a year, and I'm still going through the healing process and the recovery process of making sure that my arm comes back to life, you know, and I'm okay. And every day I wake up and I thank God that I'm okay because I know eventually one of these days, if it took that lady 7 years, I can't complain if it takes me two.
Complain if it takes you two. And
right.
You just can't complain because the body has to heal itself over time.
Yes.
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 And the moment I say that, people are going to say to me, what are you just talking about? And what I am talking about, because as I mentioned earlier, with any traumatic brain injury, i.e. a stroke or TBI, the body has to rework itself to a point of a functioning level. And
yes.
There are people that I know who've had TBIs and strokes, for that matter, and you can't they speak, but they speak at a very low level. And
right.
As we said, each person is different. Now, with modern medicine, that can help to an extent, but you can only do so much. The doctors can only give you so much to do, and then you have to do the rest of it. And so what would you say to these girls who say, I don't want to do my homework. I don't want to stay in school. School's boring. What do you say to these people that have doubts about themselves?
I tell them they need to have a great support system, first and foremost. The first one is God. The second one is a family or a friend. I was blessed. I had my children. They helped me a lot. And my auntie is still a very strong, positive influence in my life today. She's God-fearing, and she always prayed for me, even when I wasn't. I mean, going through my stroke, I can say that it was days I was angry. Seemed like I was mad all the time, and she used to always just pray for me. And after she got finished praying with me while she was with me, I would feel better. You know, and I tell people to make sure they're in a place of peace, where they can have peace and comfort in their life. Because stress will put you into a stroke level.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So that means, yeah. Because the body can only the body can only take so much, and sometimes you're going to have to let it go. Let it go. I mean, the body can only take so much before the body naturally shuts down. And a stroke is the body naturally shutting down, isn't it?
Yes, that is correct.
So basically, daily stress can bring a stroke on. Is that what you're saying? And you're a stroke advocate, I am presuming. And how would you say to people who say, I'm so stressed out, as a life coach coming from a stroke survivor's perspective, what do you say to people?
Well, I used to tell people all the time when they tell me they were stressed, by you stressing over it, is it going to add a day to your life? Will it pay your bills? Is it going to make you happy with all the stress in your life? If not, let it go. You cannot change people. You cannot make people do what they want you to do. And you can only be accountable for yourself. And that's what I would tell people. Let it go. Let go and let God. Give it over to Him. I know, because I used to deal with that all the time with a lot of people I knew. And people will stress you because they can. But when you say no more, it's over, they can't stress you anymore. I've let things go in my life, and I'm not going to bring them back into my life anymore, because at this time in my life, I realized that He gave me another chance to be me. He gave me a better chance to live my life and be the best I can be. And to do His work, and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I can't stress anymore. I have to let people be people. You want people to, you know, stop doing this or stop doing that, and you can't make people do what you want them to do. They have to be willing. And I used to have to tell myself the same thing. Is it going to add a day to your life? Or if you're in a situation and you have a boyfriend and he's cheating, if all you do is forgive him and let him come back, then why are you stressing when you hear about it again? Are you going to do something about it this time, like walk away? If not, let it go. There's always a solution.
There's always a solution to the problem. And as I said, you always need a strong support network around you. And that's what I'm slowly but surely learning in my life, because I had tragedy in my life, which is completely public, and I win my original biography. And I am slowly but surely just to let everything go and just surround yourself with people that love you and support you. And so what would you say to those individuals who say, I don't have a person to vent on, and I don't have a person to lean on, and I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I'm, my life is really hard, and I am trying to make ends meet, but I don't have the family to rely on?
Well, I've had that happen before in my life. Normally what I would do is I would give you my number and tell you to call me. Let's go to lunch. I would take you to lunch, take you places. We could sit down and pray and meditate together. I could help show you how to get there and understand as you're going what you're doing so you'll know why you're doing it. So that has always been my motto. I've always... If you don't have a friend, I'll be your friend. Let's do this together.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So basically, it's a step-by-step process here. And
yes.
So basically what you're saying is people need a good, not necessarily companion, but a person they can rely on.
Yes, they definitely need a good support system, someone who cares. And if you're not built with a heart to give, you cannot help anyone.
Yes.
And that's where my heart has been all my life, as a giver. So if you tell me you have nothing or no one, I'm right there for you.
Yeah.
But you have to be willing to be a receiver if I'm going to be a giver.
Yes, 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 I like that, I like that. You have to be willing to receive if I'm going to give. It's not a one-way street.
Exactly.
It's not a one-way street. And unfortunately, that's what some people think nowadays. So, and it's not a one-way street. And so for those who say, oh, I can't give anything, I can't, I'm trying my hardest, but you have lost faith in me, literally, and you have lost faith in my projects. What do you say to those people who just don't want to be a stick in mud?
I'm sorry, you said, what would I say to a person that's what again?
Who wants to be a stick in the mud and say, I don't want to receive help. I don't want to receive help. I can't be a giver. I can't do it. My life is too hard. What would you say to those people?
Basically, a person that doesn't want to receive anything from you, as far as you giving them it's the love and the support that they would need, you can keep trying, and if they still continue after so long, I don't want it. You have to, you know, I do what Jesus did in the Bible. He wiped his feet, and he moved on
to
someone who did want it. But, you know, you hate leaving people behind, but at the same time, you have to be ready to give it to the person who does want it and stop trying to force the person who don't want it.
Yep, because you have to move on. You have to be, there's a lot of people out there that do want it, and you have to stick with those people who are willing to be receptive, who are willing to necessarily give when you give.
Yes, yes. And there's plenty of people out there that want it. You know, they definitely want it.
Yes, and I agree with you. And that leads me to my next question. My next question is, what is the first step in telling someone, getting someone to admit they need help?
You basically, well, what I've been through in my experiences, I would continue to, you know, work with that person, pray with that person, and eventually let them see the things that they think they don't see and make them actually open their eyes and see it. Once they see it, they can either say, no, I don't think I need help, I want to stay this way, or they'll say, yes, I think I do need help. I had a young lady that I worked with when I used to work for Ford Motor Company. To give you an example, she was going out with a gentleman that just used to jump on her all the time, and when she came to work, I would always pray with her over and over and over at work. And I told her one day, I said, you know what? I can pray with you 24/7, but if you don't want this, then you're going to still keep being in that same situation. And she came back to me a week later and said, I really want you to help me. So we used to just go over different steps of how to love herself and, you know, how to get away from the situation she was in. Probably 3 to 6 months later, she was free from him. after her and I got together and prayed and, you know, did the little routines that we do. And she's a different woman. And she said, I could have never done it without you. And I thank you for showing me what could happen. Because I explained to her, one of these days, you're not going to be able to come to work. Because that one day, it could be that he could kill you. And I think that may have triggered something in her head when she thought, I can't come to work. I can't do this. No. So I can only do what I can do for you, and I'll give you as much help and leeway. I mean, I used to actually shelter women who were battered and abused in my home.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I used to tell them, you know, when you're ready to go, let me know. We'll come and get you. We'll meet somewhere. We'll get you, and you can stay with me. And we'll go through these steps together so you can get your head together, your life together. So when you walk out that door, you won't even see him anymore. You're more valuable than he than he's given you. You know, he has no right to put his hands on you. And when she was done, she understood that she had value of herself. I taught her how to love herself. She learned how to love herself, the true value of who she was and who she is. And she just loved who she was, and she realized she didn't need validation from the man. She needed to, I told her, God's validation is better than any validation in the world. And as long as he's pleased, you ain't got to worry about pleasing no man.
And that is a terrific ending statement, and I'm going to turn it back over to Annette, because our hour and a half has gone by so quickly. I'm looking at my on-air clock, and it's 3 minutes. And I'm like, oh, my God. There goes another hour and a half. And I will welcome you back on to talk about your books when they're ready.
Oh, yes. I will definitely make sure you get a notice in your email or a phone. Letting you know that my book is ready to be published, and I'm going to put it out on the shelf.
Thank you. And I'm going to turn it back over to Annette.
Okay, thank you. And it was very nice to meet
you.
And I really enjoyed being on your show.
Thank you.
And thank you.
And we thank everybody who's tuned in this evening to Women of Wisdom. It is the Monday and Tuesday live program that is created and hosted by Wynn Kelly Charles. The network is WC, A Woman with CP. You'll find her on Blog Talk Radio at that address. So please, by all means, sign up, join up, get our email notifications, and let us know what you think of this show. Best-selling author Wynn Kelly Charles will be back on Tuesday, March 24th, and she will be talking with Michelle Mazar. So we know that you definitely want to tune in live every Monday and Tuesday evening, 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, to Women of Wisdom on the WC, A Woman with CP Network.